Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
How's everybody doing this morning? Are you all good? Can we give it up for those of you who are here for the first time? We want to welcome you here to Every Nation Brisbane. So glad you could join us here on this special Sunday. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane, and we're so glad you could join us. I'm going to read to you a familiar passage for some of you from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. And I'm just going to focus on the first two lines of this verse, but I think just for context sake, might be helpful for us to read these two verses together. It says here, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Luke chapter 2. It says here, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, Fear not." Everybody say, fear not. Fear not. Turn to somebody and tell them, fear not. This is the verse that Linus read to Charlie Brown. "For behold, I bring you good news." Okay, turn to that same person and say, he's bringing some good news. "Good news of great joy that will be before all the people. For unto you," there's that passage again, right there, "for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, I don't know if we've got what it says there, but I just want at this point just pray. God, thank you so much for sending us your son, Jesus. We get to celebrate that unto us a child was born and unto us a son has been given, and you changed and completely flipped history in the arrival of your son. And so today, God, we pray, Lord, in the short time that we have remaining together, that you would help me to convey what's on your heart this Christmas season for your people. Lord, we want to move out of the way that we hear directly and completely from you. We bless you today, God, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. The title of my message here today is The Eternal Gift. The Eternal Gift. I told this story a few weeks ago to our church about how one Christmas I got the ugliest pair of jeans that you've ever seen before in your life. These jeans were never in fashion. I got them from my mother, who thought they were in fashion at some point in particular time. There were zips where zippers were not supposed to go ever on jeans, and I'd always wonder why would you put zippers there? And they were like stonewashed, not acid wash. They were like stonewashed. How many of you remember stonewash? And then they were tapered at a time when tapering should never be tapered. And so there was an arrival of this gift. I opened it up, and I'm not a very good actor, guys. My wife, who ran a lot of the preparation for today and put it all together, praise God. She's the one that is good with all the acting and the performance in that way. I'm okay with music, but like when it comes to dramatic performance, I'm not very good. And so I couldn't act like I was very happy with my mother's gift to me. And she waited with her mouth agape upon the arrival of what she had put so much effort to give me. And I unwrapped the wrapper, and I looked at it, and I tried, upon the ascension of my head, I tried to put on my face, okay, when I raise my head, I need to look thankful. But the thing is, if I looked really thankful, she would have to make me wear them. You know what I'm saying? And I'd have to wear them to church. Not church, because, in my church, how many of you know, like, congregational, you can't wear jeans to church, but you can wear them to youth group. And that's like, Okalavo. You can't wear those sorts of jeans to youth group, because you'll be the butt of everybody's jokes, and there's a zipper for the butt of that joke. So, like, I raised my head, and Okay, one of these. See, I can't even do it now. I'm just, thanks, Ma. And she could tell that I didn't understand. And I told our church that they were bought from a store that's now no longer in existence in New Zealand. There was a store called Randall's. So many of you from New Zealand probably don't even remember that because this is during the 80s. Maybe Helen Tawai, my sister, please go down with me and remember. Natalia, are you there? Come on. Randall's, and I was right next to George Courts. Some of you might remember George Courts on K Road. And so I raised my head and tried to look thankful, and she saw that look in my eyes. And then she had a look in her eyes. How many of you know about the mother's look in your eyes? You know, the sort of eyes that when you're in a meeting like this, in a church meeting like this, and they look at you when you're making too much noise. It's like the dragon stare, which without communicating verbally means you're going to get it when we get home. And because we're around cousins, she had to be on her best behavior too, because, you know, she's a pastor's wife, what we call in Samoan, Falitua. So she looked at her, you wait till they leave. Those jeans are going to be on your face. No, you know, so. But I often think about this gift that we've been given, this eternal gift that we've been given, just starting with these two phrases that are not even the whole of this verse, Isaiah 9 verse 6, right? And how sometimes we don't even understand the power of what's been given to us in the Son, Jesus Christ. It's like, oh, great, thankful for Jesus. But it can easily grow dull in our spirits if we grow up in environments like church, where do we have to sing those same songs each Sunday, each Christmas Sunday? Do we have to do the same things? Are the same rituals can easily grow void of any power unless we understand what has been given to us. Just these two statements, and not even half of this verse, pretty much encapsulate the center of what Scripture is all about. Note that this passage is written around 700 years before even the birth of Jesus Christ. For to us, everybody say to us a child is born. To us a son is given. Think about this for a moment. To us a child is born means that there's a demarcation in history as to when the God of the universe wraps himself in human flesh and becomes a child that is born. Complete vulnerability, but decides to enter into time and history in order to change it. And the thing about a child being born is that all of the vulnerabilities that go into being a child therefore are reflected in what he was susceptible to. A child needs a lot of things, right? Imagine this. You are all powerful. You are all knowing. You have everything. I mean, the streets, the ghettos of heaven are paved with gold. And now you come in the form of a child, and not just any child, a refugee child, a child who was susceptible to all the forces, because we know that this child was born in a place where farm animals were. And we don't have the medical vaccinations and things that help to protect the child from its vulnerability. The God of the universe came in the most vulnerable form, not even born in a hospital or a hotel or a home, but born in a manger. For to us, a child is born. This speaks of this Jesus being God, fully God, and yet being vulnerable, being susceptible to pain, to suffering, to not having. If you want to know somebody who knows rejection, our God knows rejection. If you want to know somebody who knows isolation, our God knows isolation. You want to know somebody who knows extreme poverty, our God knows extreme poverty. You want to know somebody who knows what it's like to be kicked out of your own country at birth because the census would come around? This child, this vulnerable child, was seen as a threat to the king at the time. King Herod, do you remember this? And he issued an edict in order to get rid of all the babies around at that time. And so he went into refugee status. So he knows what it's like to be vulnerable. And this is what I need to remind us of, because it's easy for us to recognize, well, here we go again. Christmas time, same old songs. Same old stories. But do we recognize the power of what has happened here? For to us, that's you and I, Isaiah was prophesying to the people of Israel. And according to Galatians 5, now we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That means all of us are now recipients of the promises that we find in the Old Testament. Therefore, unto us, you and I, on the ends of the earth, this child was born. For unto us a son is given. So not only is he a child that enters into history, but he's a son, meaning he's relational. He didn't just come to base himself into history. He came in order to relate to you and I. See, the position of a son is one who's subservient to a father. He was fully God, but submitted his power and authority to that of the Father in order that we may come into understanding that we, like we just sang, are now sons and daughters. We're no longer orphans, no longer slaves. And this is what has been made available to us in Christmas. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And this is where we find the most famous verse in the Bible, not Austin 3:16, but John 3:16. For God so, and you hear me joke about it all the time, like a California Valley girl, like so loved the world. He didn't just love the world, he like so loved the world, like so. For God so loved the world. For God so loved us, because it's unto us. To you, turn to somebody and tell them, he so loves you. You can throw some weight on that so. Some of y'all like, yeah, he so loves you. I'm not sure about me loving you, but hey, watch out. That's your spouse. But God so loved the world that he what? He gave. How many of you heard people that like say, yeah, I love you, but they don't give you jack. Might give you a headache. See, your love is reflected by how you give. You may not agree with his theology necessarily, but there's a guy named Bill Johnson who said, I agree with this statement. Your worship is always reflected by your revelation, right? And if you understand the power of what God has done, you'll worship accordingly. For he who has been forgiven much loves much. And so therefore we understand the weight of what he gave. For God so loved the world. But it's like, no, just a little bit what? Little bit love. No, he so loved you. It's a matter of if our hearts are ready to receive that love that determines our worship. It shouldn't be Charles or Samantha or Lily up here saying, come on, lift your hands. You should just lift your hands. If you understand the weight of this love of what he's done for us, you should just lift your praise. You should just change your life. If you understand the weight of this love that he's given us, for God so loved you that he gave his only son. For unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. He loves you that much. He gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not die, perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Through him, the gift, the eternal gift that has been given to you. And so here I am before you now, and this might be a reminder for some. This might be the first time that you're hearing this, but this is what differentiates Christianity from any other religion. Any other religion will tell you that you need to perform your way into earning what might be heaven or nirvana or some form of paradise, but in this belief system, bought by relationship, because you'll hear the phrase, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. And it starts with him who first loved us. It doesn't start with us performing. But the difference is our Savior went to a cross for us. Didn't just teach us how to live. He went to die so that we can live. And so unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. So here's where the position that we're at. And whether you're a Christian or not, this is the temptation. Is that our heads can grow heavy looking down at our circumstance and not believing in this gift that he's given us. So our heads look down like this guy here, right? We begin to magnify what's immediately before us, not believing that God can move in power and authority. If you can understand the same Holy Spirit that operated in the book of Acts, the same Holy Spirit which would start the Reformation with Martin Luther and other reformers during the time who would be willing to die at the stake for what they believed in. For people like
Mother Teresa and Martin Luther King Jr. and Billy Graham. We just celebrated the life of Reinhard Bonnke, who saw millions of people all over the world, and especially on the continent of Africa, preach to the largest crowd ever preached to in one sitting. Over a million people in one crowd saw them come to Christ. He passed away last week. And so it's easy for us to celebrate the generals of the faith, but it's the same Holy Spirit, the same gift that's been afforded to us, same Holy Spirit in you and I. He's come to activate life in us. But it's a matter of our posture, still looking down at our situation, thinking, well, I kind of little bit believe in God. It's not a matter of your God is big enough. It's a matter of if your faith meets the God that has given you this gift. For unto us, this child is born. For unto us, the son is given. And so there's the tendency to look down. And what becomes harder is when we look down and put something in front of our eyes. It might look like this, where we see our financial circumstances and that's all we can see because that's what we're magnifying at the time. Or our heads are down. Have you noticed that a lot more people are going for neck massages these days? You know, you want to know why? Because their heads are down like this and this is right in front of them. Everywhere they go. I won't say everywhere they go. I'll say everywhere we go. I'm just the messenger. I do this from time to time. Catch the train. No one's looking at each other. Trying to even start a conversation. Just head down. And you wonder why, oh, it's tight here. Because for 18 hours a day, heads down there, triple chin. Just don't take a selfie when you're like that. You accidentally press the camera, I'd be like, whoa! But like, have you noticed that this thing can become your pastor? Because you seek godly advice from this thing? Remember back in the day, I had a great conversation with my dear friend Tim yesterday. We were talking about, not that we're old guys talking about this stuff, but like, we're like, back in the day when you used to have to go to a record store and actually rummage through the records, the smell of wax, you know, just, oh, how many of you like remember vinyl, man? Like, you know, cassettes, you know, like, we used to have to go down to the store and actually look for it. Now you just crack this thing open and it's Spotify or Apple Music. Or Tidal for those who want to overpay, and just look for your music. You just rattle off songs, and it's like, oh, it's right there. Even the most rare record that you used to have, it's right there on Apple Music. It's the reason why less people are going to the movies now and watching Netflix. You know, you want the answer to anything. You used to go to the library. Remember the library? Or you used to have to go to if you didn't want to go to the library, you used to have World Book Encyclopedia. Yeah, you remember World Book Encyclopedia? Well, for those of you who didn't like too much pictures, it's a Britannica. You know, like, remember those? Those can be great books. They can also be weapons if you misbehave, you know, just, or things to hold the tables up because some people didn't read the letter X. You know, there's not much there. So you put that on the table to even it out. But now everything's here. We go here for advice. We go here for what's happening in the news. We go here for, we read our Bibles here. And there's nothing wrong with that, but just understand that there's a tendency to posture ourselves and immediately what's in front of us. When Jesus says in the book of Psalms, when God says to us that he is the lifter of our heads, right? He's not calling us to magnify. It's not necessarily the phone, because the phone is a tool. It's what we magnify on it. What do you magnify? And the tendency for, because you don't associate with people when you're on your phone a lot, the tendency is for us to be more individualistic, more focused on our own immediate circumstances, when God has called us to be a people that walk together, and that's the greatest gift that he gives us, because through his son, we get to walk together. Check this out. I will bless the Lord at what? How many times? All times, no matter what you're going through. Is the first thing you do, run to your phone or run to bless him? His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Check this out, everybody. Listen to this. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now, of course, we're here to say that, you know, like, we don't magnify anything else other than magnifying the Lord. But notice the posture here as to how they magnify the Lord. Firstly, it's not your head down, he lifts your head. Secondly, we magnify him together. There's a tension between the desire to want to figure things out ourselves and to fight to stay in relationship so that we can walk together in order to magnify him. When Mary was told of the news that she was to give birth to Jesus, I know what she would have thought. Man, if they figure out I'm pregnant and I'm not even married to Joe Boy over here. For the Pinoys here, Jojo. No ring. He hasn't done the Beyonce. He hasn't put a ring on it. Everybody's going to be like, well, uh-oh, like looking at me, like walking around. You've been eating a lot of bread there, a lot of carbs there. You're starting to get a bit of a belly there, Mary, you know, starting to question. So there could have been an ease of magnifying the circumstance. But what was the first thing she did? Number one, I love this as a musician. She wrote a song called the Magnificat. And the first line of that song, Mary said, my soul, what? Magnifies the Lord. Because she recognizes, for unto me, a child is born, literally. And unto me, a son is given. My soul magnifies the Lord. This is my destiny. This is my purpose. And a lot of us don't realize that Jesus Christ is the only baby that ever came into the planet drinking milk that he made himself. She recognized, man, this is a gift to carry this child. It doesn't matter what people thought, you know, ladies out there in Nazareth, oh, did you hear about Mary? Oh, we should make a movie about it called Something About Mary. It's just, but she recognized, you know what? I have an eternal perspective because I have an eternal gift. I don't look at the chismis, di ba? In the Tagalog. Sobra talaga. But like, you know, there's so much exclusivo. You know, you watch TFC and there's like a new news. Oh, did you hear about what happened to this celebrity? Or this? And it's like, oh, wow, look, that could happen to us. And then you're wondering why there's so much pressure to perform, to look better than everybody else. There's a reason, you know, to celebrate my Pinoy brothers and sisters here. There's a reason why in our culture in the Philippines, I say our culture because I'm a little bit Filipino. I'm a lot Filipino in there, but like, there's a reason why you go to the malls and every third store is a beauty shop. There's a reason why only my Filipino friends are like following Miss Universe, you know, because there's a lot of people looking for the beauty of it, looking for that performance of like, if we can be the most beautiful, if we can have the best outward appearance. And for us from the islands, it might be sports or it might be the pursuit of other things. Whatever it is, it's recognizing that those things are going to let you down and those things are going to distract you because you magnify those things rather than magnifying the Lord. And God reminds us, hey, all of those things that you're focused on, your job, your beauty, the number of friends you have, your social abilities, well, your social status, your economic status, the status of your children because they're a reflection of you somewhat. Was that too real? I don't know. But like, think about it. When you start to magnify those things, you start to look like me with my stonewashed jeans. You don't appreciate the gift that's been given to you when he wants to lift you out and see things from a galaxy perspective as being, the galaxies being minute. If my focus is on my circumstances, they look a lot bigger. We don't recognize how small our gods are until we lay them at the foot of the real God. And so I take my little gods, small g, put them down, and I lift my head and begin to see, oh, it's not really that big. Next level, though, Ephesians says that he seats me in heavenly places. So now I'm not even seeing my issue here because he's lifting my perspective all the way up here. See? I've even got sound effects. But I can't even see my circumstances. Or if I see them, they're put in the right perspective now because I worship a God who is eternal and has an eternal perspective and has given me an eternal gift. Are you with me? Like the perspective of my circumstance is determined by what I magnify. And that's why they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength and rise with wings like eagles. There's a reason why eagles have 8 times the amount of vision, precision than humans to the point where they can be a mile away and still be able to read precisely what a number plate says, but see it in its perfect perspective. It's small. When you consider God's perspective, your circumstances, they're real, but they're only as big as the God that you magnify. For unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. I wanted to ask you this question, and I'm going to give you just 3 minutes to do this, and then we're just going to close in worshiping with a song, well, at least close this part of our service, and worshiping God with a song. But the question simply is, what do you magnify? You can tell what a person magnifies by what they value the most. You can tell what a person values by what they spend the most money on, the most time on, the most brain space on. What do you magnify? Or who do you magnify? As for me and my house, we will magnify the Lord. So the encouragement today, it's not to coerce you like your parents may have done. My mom used to do this. I'm telling on my mom today. Please don't tell. Levy's up the front. He goes, oh, I'm going to text her now. That's why you're the favorite nephew, man. You know, we used to be in kids' church at the end of the devotion before everybody splits up and goes to their classes. So all the kids from like prep all the way to year seven, they're all congregated there. There's about 50 kids in our kids' church. You know how it is in Psalm 1 church, right? Only 40 parents and 50 kids, so we make disciples. And so they're all gathered there, and then they close the devotional time by saying, okay, now it's time to pray. Who wants to pray to Jesus? Oh, you could hear a pin drop, man. Who wants to pray to Jesus, guys? Everyone's, oh, looking down. She's looking around. Levy was there. He was a child too. He was just chewing his bubble gum, looking at where he can put it under the chair. And so everyone's heads down. And then my mom used to say, oh, poor Jesus. And I'll be sitting right there. Oh, poor Jesus. This is not what I'm trying to do here with you. Like present you with an understanding of this is the gift that's presented before you. And I'm going to keep it really real, okay? It's not a matter of whether you receive it and if you don't appreciate it, oh, poor Jesus. It's poor you. I love you. I really do. But I owe you the truth. If you don't understand that for whom the Son sets free is free indeed, some of us in this room are battling, you know, habitual stuff. And Jesus says, not, don't just stop it. Trust me with the grace to help you stop it. Because unto us this child is born. Unto us this son is given. Battling insecurity, okay? Are you going to magnify that or are you going to magnify the gift that's been given to you? What do you magnify today? Just really quickly, I wanted to say this. This is something that's going to be spoken about over the next couple of weeks. But I know many of us are traveling during this time. I want to encourage everybody in this room. It's not just preachers like myself that get to convey the Christmas message, but this is an opportunity for you as you go to your families to share Christ, share this gift that we've been talking about with others. It may be with your words as you tell them about what Jesus has done in your life. It may be through your generosity. It may be through helping out. But one of the things that I want to encourage you with is usually around this time, there's a lot of temptation to go on vacation from your faith. But let this be a time that you actually ramp up in understanding, man, I need to grow in God. I'm not gonna go on vacation. I'm not gonna leave my faith in the Gold Coast or on Sunshine Coast. I'm going to grow in my faith during this time. So this is my prayer for you. I know many of you are traveling. I wanted to leave you with that exhortation before you go.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.